Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Rumors on the floor claim China will import corn this year, and that picked up the market after a bad start to the week. Is it enough to keep corn near $5 a bushel? We'll ask that question and many more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Dan Bossi of Ag Resource Company out of Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists in studio today are Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain in Windsor, Illinois, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, and Mike Georgie of Allendale in Mahomet, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. Can $5 corn prices be maintained through the crop insurance setting month of February? We'll start with you, Mike Georgie.
I think so. There's a lot of questions out there that haven't been answered yet, and it's acres numbers, it's supply and demand is tight. So, yeah, I don't think there's a lot of negative news, and right now the bulls are in charge.
Matt Bennett?
I would agree. I think it's going to be pretty tough to knock corn down right now. Last year, if you remember, we basically rallied through the whole month of February. So I think that we're looking at prices at least staying around the $5 level or above.
And Dan Zwicker?
Well, I think there's some cautionary signs, but the way the market did perform this week, it does look like it's gearing up to at least stay firm, if not climb through the month of February. So we'll have to kind of take, I think, 1 week at a time. But everything right at the moment anyway looks like we're going to go into a sideways to higher climb as the month of February begins.
In Chicago, on the corn market for the week, the March contract had a high of 504.5, the low at $4.69. The weekly trade settled unchanged from Friday to Friday at 498.25. December corn futures at 509.75 were down 5.25 from last week. And there seems to be much friendly news to close out a volatile week in the corn market. Here's a recap of some of what happened. Crop watchers in Argentina are predicting a smaller crop this year. They say poor summer weather may have dropped the annual yield by 10 to 20% from 22 to as low as 18 million metric tons. The Department of Agriculture reported weekly corn export sales of 1.715 million metric tons. That was in line with the 1 to 2 million tons expected by the analyst. $5 corn doesn't seem to have promoted any rationing yet. And the Dow Jones Newswire interview Friday on interviewed a deputy director of the Department of Rural Affairs. He said tight government controls in China on industrial use of corn, as well as the export of the commodity, along with the international prices, will prevent China from being a net importer of corn this year. Okay, that's not so friendly for the corn market, but the official did go on to say next year his nation could become a net importer of corn. Wow. It seems to be a lot of fundamental news that finally supports higher corn prices, yet this week was all but friendly. How do you see the news and its implications, Dan Zwicker?
Well, the news, we'll have to see how that all plays out, but at least in the near term, there's plenty of demand for corn and soybeans. I think the way the market performed this week tells you that, even on a hard break like we had early in the week, the market was able to snap back basically on good active end-user demand. And I think as long as the end-users are willing to pay these prices for it, the market's in pretty good footing.
Matt Bennett, in a volatile week like this, is it more fun to be a farmer or an elevator operator?
Farmer.
Tell me about being an elevator operator.
Well, you know, the margin requirements lately have been just huge, and it's quite a bit to manage whenever you're in the elevator business and you've got, you know, several bushels hedged. We're a smaller elevator, but, you know, the margin requirements on a 20-cent move and a 50-cent move corn and beans are huge. So, you know, it's pretty stressful, but I know there's a lot of different things floating around as far as, you know, who all's going to be buying corn for 08, and most people aren't going to buy anything for 09. You know, some people are going basis only. I think it's something the guy's going to have to keep a pretty close watch on and make sure there's a good open line of communication with his elevator man.
Speaking of communications, what the Brain Trust at Allendale talking about this week over your squawk boxes?
Oh, I think, you know, it's a lot of up in the air. I mean, I think we're still bullish. It's the tight supply. We're wondering what the acres are going to be here. I think a lot of people are worried about weather. A lot of weather guys are saying drier than normal through the Midwest, and it all points to being bullish.
Dan, how do you see the corn market in terms of the technical side after such a volatile week?
My work would indicate that we probably made a 7-week low this week on corn. And I think we're going to look back maybe at this 6-week or the 6-day decline as a bullish pause, and we're on our way probably to $6. So I think technically, if you just look at the raw chart pattern, nothing was violated this week to lead you to believe that we're shifting the trend downward. I mean, the corn market held a 38% retracement off of their late November, early December low point when we really accelerated this up move during the month of December, and the crop report kind of exhausted it. So as far as retracement levels go, we held a very solid retracement level, this 38%. We closed back above the 50% level of the decline that we saw here over the past 6-7 days. So I think technically your chart people will begin to talk more freely about six-something in the marketplace.
How likely? More freely, but how likely do you think?
Well, the way I read the corn market, I don't think the corn acres are necessarily there. I think some of these private estimates has come out with the higher-end corn acres. I don't necessarily buy that, at least visiting with farmers out in the country the past 2 to 3 weeks. Not very many of them prepaid their fertilizer. So therefore, their fertilizer costs are going to be much higher than what they thought they were going to be when they kind of finished up combined. And so I think the market has to try to maintain some kind of acreage base at some point in time. And I think it's real critical here. I think last year, farmers, the February price is what kind of sealed them up to the corn acres thing. And I think the market will be watching during the month of February whether or not it's going to keep any acres or how many acres these current prices are going to have slip over to soybeans.
Speaking of acreage, did you catch that the Congressional Budget Office this week slipped some acreage numbers in, and they showed an 87.8 million acre corn crop for this year? That give you hope for a $6 corn price later in the season?
Well, I would agree with about everything Dan said. I think, you know, whenever I talk to guys, I feel like, especially when you get south of me, bean acreage is going to be substantially more. And, of course, I'm right along Route 16 around the Mattoon area. I think when you get north of me on the better ground, yeah, there's still going to be a hefty amount of corn on corn acres. But as Dan said, guys that haven't got their stuff booked yet, $750 anhydrous, you know, might tend to scare some of them off, especially if their ground is anything but, you know, ideal. So I think that whenever you hear about shortages for certain varieties of beans, that tells you, you know, hey, there's a lot of guys out there that's got a lot of beans bought. We heard the same thing with corn varieties last year. I'm not hearing that with corn as much as I am with beans this year.
Still an acreage war.
I think that's right. Allendale had their conference this weekend, and we had over 250 attendants, and we did a hold your hand up question of how many are going to plant more corn, how many are going to plant more beans, and it looks like the beans won out by quite a bit.
Dan, what's your work say about the bean market?
Well, the soybean market might not be quite as bullish the way we finished out the week here today. We did have a little deeper correction in soybeans. We went down to kind of the 50% retracement off of the early December low. So that didn't quite hold as well as corn did, but I'm not too sure that makes a lot of difference. But beans were unable to close above the 50% retracement level of this 6-day decline. So, but still, I think we've probably got an 8-week cycle low in place in soybeans. And if you use this decline to kind of swing a move off of that early December low, you're going to start talking about 1440. And I think that kind of fits in line with maybe some of the Goldman Sachs numbers that they kind of released here a month or so ago. So the key here, I think, is to have some follow through early next week in both these markets. And I think the technicians will put the green light on for some $14 bean talk.
March beans went to a high this week of $12.55.5. Their low was at $11.89.5, a settlement price down 21 cents at $12.43. The November contract off 23 and a quarter at $12.32. Are they talking about $14 beans in your shop?
Oh, I don't know if we're talking about them yet, but I think the possibility to get there is definitely there. I mean, I think you can have a $10 retracement if you look at the Elliott wave pattern. But if Brazil doesn't produce the beans, beans are just as bullish as corn, and 14 is definitely not out of range.
What's your thought on this one, on the bean market? Can it maintain the levels along with corn or not?
Well, beans and corn have both seemed to move fairly well hand in hand for quite some time now. And I think that as long as corn is this strong trying to buy acreage, we know, you know, really with beans, we can't afford to not have decent increase in bean acreage as well. So, yeah, I don't think beans are going away. I don't know about $14 beans, but I think if you've got $6 corn, you better believe you're going to have $14 beans.
What are you doing on pricing structures at this point?
Well, that's a good question. A lot of it depends upon the client. But I know that, you know, with the corn market especially, I feel like volatility not being terribly high, I like to look at just buying straight up puts, setting a floor, let the cash run. If you have to, you know, let those puts expire worthless, you're going to be a happy camper. You know, if you're selling $6 cash corn and you spent 25 cents on a put, big deal.
Are you going to buy the crop insurance too?
Of course. Yes, definitely. I think that it's you know, it's a government subsidized put, and I have a hard time not buying it.
Anybody else on that one? Dan?
Well, I think crop insurance and puts and all that is probably everybody's individual choice, but I'm beginning to pick up that crop insurance sales may not be as strong as they have been the past couple of years, because I think, you know, we've had 2 years now of actually no payments, especially on the GRIP policy. So I'm beginning to, at least visiting with farmers, I think they're, with these kind of price levels, they're looking at maybe using that crop insurance revenue in a more efficient way. Whether or not that can be done or not, I don't know. But they're looking at the current price levels maybe cushioning more so than this crop insurance.
Well, I think that's right. I think that what the farmer has to do is look at the revenue he's got right now and how to protect it. We've never been at these levels, and a lot of guys are just standing there like deer in a headlight wondering what to do. And I think you protect them with puts. You know, you sell some calls above it. You do whatever fits you. But we've got some pretty high revenues here that we really need to protect because, as we all know, prices can go down.
March wheat this week at $9.86.5 on the high, the low at $9.02. The settlement price 29.5 lower at $9.33. July wheat at $8.79, up a half cent from last week. Ukrainian sources announced Wednesday that winter wheat plantings there were up 40%. This, of course, would mean a much larger Ukrainian harvest this summer. Meanwhile, the hard red soft wheat sales for the 2007-08 marketing year have topped the USDA's target of a 275 million bushel export market. So the numbers on one side look good. The numbers on the other side don't look so great. What do we do? Are we looking, and I guess maybe we ought to talk about this in some terms for the soft red winter wheat producers here. Do you look at Chicago as and the wheat market now as a domestic wheat market, or do you have to still look at it as a global wheat market with all these numbers coming in from the outside with Ukraine crop up, with India looking like they're holding all kinds of wheat in hand and
Well, I think you still got to look at it as a worldwide crop, because we still export close to 50% of what we produce in the wheat. So if we don't have an export market, we're not getting rid of it. So, I mean, we still have to look at it as world demand, and if the demand isn't from there, from the world, you know, we're going to have a lot of leftover.
Is there a lot of green ground to the south of you?
There's a lot of wheat that's been grown where I'm at, and especially when you get south, like I said, of Route 16, southern Illinois, there's wheat everywhere.
Yeah, and, you know, farmers, I think, whether or not they want to worry about whether it be in a domestic market or a global market or whatever they want to worry about, you know, they have to look at price. They got to look at the trend lines. The trend lines point up yet on wheat. I think the biggest risk that probably soft red winter wheat producers have with all of this wheat to the south of us and to the east of us is basis levels are probably going to be unbearable at some point in time. I think, your distant bids right now are awfully poor with basis levels. So I think that's where farmers are going to be the most frustrated probably, is marketing this soft red winter wheat with the large supplies in a lot of these areas. There's just going to be a lot of wheat around. Farmers don't usually store wheat. They like to push it right into the marketplace. That's a summer cash flow cash crop. So a lot of the farmers that are planting wheat are kind of looking at the double crop overall dollar gross per acre. So that's why they're going to want to harvest it. They're going to want to move it out. They're going to want to plant beans behind it. So I think there's going to be some pretty wide basis levels.
March oats this week, 320 and a quarter on their settlement price, up three quarters from the CME Group's livestock side. February live cattle, a high of 91.50, a low at 90.30. Their settlement price, 40 higher at 91.40. January feeder cattle at 98.60, up 92.5 cents. And the Fed lean hogs, a 56.80 top, a low at 54.85. Settlement price here at 56.20, up 122.5. We'll probably need to ask Dan Bossi in a moment about the livestock market and what folks in that industry ought to be doing to lock in prices. That'll happen in 2 minutes.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Arctic air remained entrenched over Illinois all of this week. Temperatures were well below normal, with sub-zero readings across much of Illinois on Thursday and Friday mornings. Temperature departures this week range from 15 degrees below normal in the south to 25 degrees below normal in northwestern Illinois, where a layer of snow helped to keep things colder. Winds behind a strong Arctic front on Wednesday produced wind chill temperatures from 15 to 25 degrees below zero across the northern half of the state, as actual air temperatures remained in the single digits. Precipitation this week was limited to the northern half of Illinois, and it was mostly snow. The heaviest snow fell on Monday into Tuesday, when 5 to 7 inches accumulated in northwestern Illinois and 1 to 3 inches of snow accumulated in central Illinois. More snow came with the Arctic front on Wednesday and Wednesday night, but it was generally much lighter. At the end of the week, snow cover ranged from 6 to 8 inches in northwestern Illinois to 2 inches or less across central Illinois. A brief period of warming will occur this weekend through Monday, but then cold air will knife its way back into Illinois on Tuesday. Temperatures will be near to below average the rest of the week. The front will be accompanied by precipitation on Tuesday, very likely a rain changing to snow situation. More precipitation is possible by the end of the week as a low pressure system develops in Texas and then heads toward the Ohio Valley. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week on AM 580. Our panelists in studio are Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois, and Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain out of Windsor, Illinois. Our guest today is the Executive Vice President of Ag Resource Company in Chicago. His name is Dan Bossi. He joins us by phone. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Tell me, let's start with some questions that come right off of your website. Let's start with the Russian wheat exports and their impact on the year ahead. Russia will halt its wheat exports, you write. Longer term, does this have an impact on the world market?
Russia will halt their exports this upcoming week, at least for several months. They've exported 10.5 million metric tons already. That's a record. As we talk to our Russian clients over there, they're telling us that they increased their wheat seedings 5 to 6%, as did most people in the world. I've got world wheat production next year, Todd, at around 646 million metric tons. It's up about 40 million metric tons from the record. And so everybody who's anybody is going to be increasing wheat production. Maybe the Canadians are the odd man out, but we are surely not going to have a shortage of wheat once we get past this old crop tightness that we are now enduring. Probably into the Valentine's holiday thereafter, though, I think everybody needs to check their pulse in terms of how bullish you really want to be on wheat. SRW production, if I run normal trend yields, I've got SRW production somewhere around 540 million bushels. Stocks up at around 160, 170 million bushels. That'll be a record by 30 or 40 million bushels. So there will not be a shortage of soft red winter wheat. And my fear being at some point, because of declining U.S. export demand, that wheat prices could indeed fall back much closer in normality with corn, $1.30 to $1.70 premium. And maybe July Chicago wheat prices have as much as $2 down as we head into harvest.
Well, what price would that actually be, Dan? I mean, are you thinking corn's going to hold at these levels and wheat's going to come down, or you think corn will come down with it?
I'm not that bullish corn. I know you guys are ranting and raving about $6. My head is not around that axle relative to valuation models we run up here. I suppose if the export demand continues, but I see our friends in South Korea are booking corn all the way out to July or August. Japan tells me they're booked out through June, so everybody's concerned about supply availability. If my end stocks are right around 155 to 16, that gives me valuations that's closer to 450 to 470 than where we're sitting at 5. So I guess if there's a weather abnormality in the spring, something like that, that'll get us going. But talk about a drought is just that right now. Talk. I've got as many climate people telling me that because of Julian-Maiden oscillations and warm waves coming across the Pacific that we shouldn't be worried about drought this year. We'll see. I just think we take weather 10 days at a time. But for the moment, I'm thinking volatility is the theme of the day, and thank God this is only a four-day week because I couldn't take another one of limit up or limit down.
Dan, Matt Bennett here. I know we talked this past weekend at ADM's conference in Las Vegas about outside forces potentially hitting the market, and then we come in here on Tuesday and, you know, like you say, we had a wild, volatile week. Do you feel like the way that the markets reacted to, you know, all the outside forces, do you think that, you know, that this is through, or do you feel like we're just going to stay right with whatever's happening in the marketplace, or how do you feel about it relative to, I guess, kind of how we talked on this past weekend?
No, I think the outside factors remain a big feature. I still fear, as I suggested at the ADM meeting, that recession slowdown in world economies is something we've got to be fearful of. I don't think the Chinese economy will continue to grow at 12 to 13% as they have been doing. And so with the slowdown in mind and worry about things like bird flu in India and their corn exports and all those kinds of things, I just think the markets stay extremely volatile. And because of that, my large hedge fund relationships or guys that are trading are all getting smaller. They want to use rallies to diminish their exposure to commodities, particularly in the grain markets. And so with that, I guess my wonderment is if the hedge fund guys or the big players are getting smaller in their positions and rolling back into some equities, retailers and financial institutions, who's going to be the force that pulls us or pushes us beyond the recent highs? Maybe it is weather in South America or the U.S. that could do it, but I don't think these fund guys are just ready to lock and load at $5 and take us right on up the golden ladder.
Is that what I'm hearing you say, is that this upside may not be so much a fundamental ride, but more of a CNBC talking about it and everybody saying the funds are buying and the ride, everybody's getting on it and it's going to come to a climax here?
I think it's going to be volatile. I just think there's going to be up strongly sharply up days and sharply lower days. I haven't counted how many days wheat has been limit up or limit down here in Chicago or other places, but I want to say it's probably three quarters of the sessions, and it's got the Board of Trade talking about expanding limits. You know, they're talking about going another 40 or 50% on limits, so these kind of days don't happen. And when that happens, I think it's just, you know, raises margin requirements, diminishes the participation from some folks, and is just going to cause a more violent market than we have now. So volatility is a theme we've been chanting to our clients since the beginning of the year, and I think because of the uncertainty over global and U.S. Economic policies and the outlook, we have a labor report next Friday. I think all of this is going to be quite, let's say, produces wild swinging markets in the grains that most of us aren't used to or willing to deal with on a day-to-day basis.
You would oppose then wider trading limits. Would you oppose larger spec limits too?
I do not. The wider trading limits I kind of like because I think it may take some people out of the market, but to peg everything at limits and then have all the trade occurred in options, I'm just not sure is right. The other side of it is that there is a tremendous amount of off-exchange swaps going on. Some of these big banks are just doing huge numbers of swaps in corn, beans, and soybeans. So as a fund reaches their limit position at the Board of Trade, they just go to a bank and do a swap and expand their positions that way. And so I'm all for transparency. I never like to increase position limits, but from what I'm seeing on the swap side, I think it's probably time for the Board of Trade to increase their position limits and let these guys do it on exchange.
Well, shifting our focus here, maybe over here into South America and the soybean production and what you're hearing coming out of South America.
Yeah, to be short.
It's generally pretty good. I think if these rains fall across Argentina this weekend, their soybean crop will remain at a potential of 47, maybe 48 if the good weather continues. I'm hearing crop numbers in Brazil ranging from 60.5 to 62 million metric tons. The farmer down there seems to be aggressive, wanting to be aggressive in his sales. Early harvest results from Mato Grosso in the northern parts of the state is suggesting record yields to us. So I think Brazil has a darn good crop, particularly because their incidence of soy rust has been 50% or less from a year ago. So they're going to be an influence and somewhat of a drag on U.S. export demand as we get past Carnival and the Lunar New Year holiday, which is the first week of February.
Dan, we appreciate you being with us.
You're welcome.
Look forward to seeing you in March at the All Day Ag Outlook meeting. Dan Bossi is with Ag Resource Company out of Chicago, Illinois. Now for a final word from our panelists. We'll start with Mike Georgie of Allendale.
I think the word of the day is volatility, volatility, and putting a bottom in works.
Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain in Windsor.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a ride, and I think the guys need to protect as much of this revenue as they can.
Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group.
Challenging times. While I think everybody's talking about volatility, really when you look at the price levels that we're at, we did not have any volatility. It's just that our mentality is still with $6 beans and $2.50 corn and 20-cent limits and, you know, 10-cent limits. So really I think this market has been relatively calm considering the price levels we're at.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. Have a good week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.